This morning in North Carolina, wheels are spinning. Determination is winning. A passion is now a thriving business, and it shows no signs of slowing down. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one Clint Spiegel had with First Horizon Bank about starting a bike wheel manufacturing facility in Asheville. Now it's not just talk, it's rubber meets road. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Clint. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Right now, he's the head women's soccer coach, Kidani McAlpine, kind enough to sit down with us right now. And for those that don't know, you won a national championship out at Southern California back in 2016. You've been here for 2 years. You were a person that went to school, was raised in the South, so you're kind of back home, are you not?
No doubt about it. I grew up in Alabama, but my dad has since moved down to Noonan. My brother's in Conyers, and my baby sister's talking about coming back as well. So this has been a fantastic move in every way, shape, form, or fashion.
And certainly we're seeing the construction, and we know the football team has benefited, but the soccer team is benefiting as well, is it not?
Absolutely, absolutely. Since I've been here, we've gotten a new scoreboard for sure, but right now softball is getting their renovation, and in that build we'll have access to the weight room there, and that's going to be massive, massive for us because it just makes it easier in transitioning from on-field into the weight room or into the weight room back to on-field. That time in between, we can be more efficient and save some of this time for the women.
How much easier is it when you make an NCAA appearance to go to the people, the powers that be, and say, yeah, because winning,
it helps.
Yeah, if you want to get in the door a little bit quicker, you got to win.
No doubt about it. In the recruiting process, so to speak, with Josh, one of the things I said, we plan to be in the NCAAs regularly, and we plan to make deep runs, and we wanted to do it right out of the gate. He asked me point blank in the interview, hey, can you get it done right away? I said, I believe we'll be there in year one.
So when you actually get done with Josh, you start to speak to young women who might be playing for you. Give me what it is you tell them in terms of style. What is it you need this team, this group to be?
Year one is always about we have to learn how to compete. We have to learn how to prepare. We have to learn how to do the little things necessary that will allow you to even be in the realm of winning. And so a lot of it was just getting fit enough, eating right, sleeping better. It was all of the other things that impact winning. And then now we can talk tactics. We want to possess the ball as much as possible. We want to play advanced. We want to play up in the attacking third more than we play in our defensive third. Yes, we'll build out some, but in year one, it was strictly about how do we go and compete? Do we believe in ourselves? What are the details that we're taking care of to give us a chance to win?
So it's almost like being a drill sergeant in basic training. You got to break them down and build them back up.
No doubt about it. The interesting piece, most teams say, hey, let the players set their goals. Well, I didn't let them set their goals. You don't know where you're going because you've never done it. Let me help you. Uh-huh. Here are the key ingredients. And then we talked a little bit about how close they were before. They were 4 wins in the SEC the year before. Well, if you go back through history, it takes 5 to get to the NCAAs. And so I asked them, is there a game in here that you think you could have taken off one goal that would have impacted a win instead of a tie or a loss? And they were like, yeah, okay, well, then let's go do that. Let's take off some of these goals. Let's give ourselves a chance to win one more game, and one more game will put you in. And I'll never forget the when they realized that they had put themselves in the NCAAs. It was at the SEC tournament. They beat Tennessee, mm-hmm. and they celebrated, and it was one of the best feelings.
So in 20 years or so, what's the talent level difference? 20 years ago compared, because there's a lot. We were talking about youth soccer, and we're talking about a lot of high-level travel.
Yeah.
What's the skill difference in about a 20-year window?
Honestly, it's funny. I think you've got more players that are playing, so the competition goes up, so you have to be better just to make the top team, and that's a huge part of it. But what I think a lot of people miss is you've got now more parents who played in high school. More parents who play professionally.
Second generation.
So they're starting to watch the game more. They're in the game. They're fans of the game. And so the IQ, the thought process of the game of soccer is better. And we're still complaining that it's not far enough, but it's way better. And so the players are better.
College basketball coaches talk about how the AAU mentality has hurt them. They play so many games, nobody cares about wins and losses. It's just getting out. These showcases, does it matter if your team wins or doesn't win? What are your thoughts on that?
I would agree in a lot of ways. We've actually talked to a lot of the power leagues, so to speak, and talking about your best events are the ones that actually mean something. Your best events are the ones where the kids have to play for something, because then we actually get to see how they respond in pressure environments. And we're fortunate in this state, a lot of your better players still play high school. So we actually get a chance to go out and watch them play.
So do you want to debunk that myth? Because I'm going to tell you what a lot of travel coaches say, and I'm not looking to bang on anybody. High school season doesn't really much matter.
I think there's a time and place for everything. I think in this state, you have a lot more coaches that have coached at a high level, played at a high level. I think in this state, typically, you know, you'll see in your freshman year and your senior years are probably the years that you're going to play high school more so. In the sophomore and junior years, as you're trying to be recruited, you'll play a little bit more travel ball. I think there's a time and place. There are some players who need high school because they need to be they need to learn how to lead. There's, you know, I think playing for your jersey sometimes means something. They can coexist. I think it's how and when and how they balance that from a developmental standpoint. There are different ways to develop. We've gone to more high school games since we've been in this state than we've done any other stop, because this state is a state where players play.
Kidani McAlpine, Georgia's women's soccer coach, is with us as we are here in Athens. Cellini and Domino on the Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM. How's the world of NIL treating you?
You know what? It's ever changing, and it's starting to impact. It's starting to impact women's soccer in a major way. We're looking for, you know, if you look at our socials and you look at the way we're trying to put these women out there, we're trying to make sure that these companies and can see these women not just as soccer players but as people and ambassadors for their brands, and we need our women out there. We need them to be able to do that. Our women have worked hard in the spaces that have given them opportunity. I think behind football we were the second highest NIL group, so just because they've gone out and put the work in, but they're small. You know, we need more companies to invest in them in a major way, and we've got some women who are worth investing in.
An impressive fact, second behind football.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks for itself.
Yeah, they put in a lot of work.
But it also helps that they probably grew up with social media, and they understand social media, and they understand. Look, when this all started, I swear, I looked at Nick, and he'll tell you. I said that the one area where NIL, where money could come in, is fitness apparel.
Right.
And being in the gym. You have high school kids who are in the gym. Those videos go out, and Riderwear and all these other companies go, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
Let me find out if I can get my stuff on them. And that's the beginning of it. So this group right now has sort of lived in that age, and I think it does help when it comes to NIL.
No doubt. Our women, you know, whether it's, you know, their nails, their hair, what they're wearing, what they're drinking, like all of those things, I think they put out and they share their world on social media regularly. So it's never a bad thing for these companies to look at them as an avenue to push their brands.
And the other thing that people might not understand is we're not talking about everybody's on a full scholarship.
No.
So the other part, right, explain what the numbers are.
We have 14 scholarships to split between our 30 women. And that means, realistically, nobody's on a true full ride, top of the dollar full ride. And so we're working hard to kind of find other ways to support these women and support their dreams and give them the best opportunities.
And in state with Hope Scholarship, there is an opportunity.
It's massive.
If you're not on full scholarship, but here's where family and student gets a break.
It only benefits us as a soccer program to invest in Georgia players. To have 85-90% of our roster Georgia players, because now we can move some of those dollars out and build up a better and deeper team. And that was one of the draws coming here. We knew we could actually build a roster that can compete year in and year out and make long runs, Sweet 16 or better every year. And that's the goal.
How much has it changed? We talked about you being from Alabama. When you talk about soccer, you got the soccer program being based now, Arthur Blank investing in Atlanta United and the soccer program.
Yeah.
And we talk about the youth and Domino, you know, with your kids playing soccer through high school.
Ticket sales even for what's going to go on in
the
next month.
Yeah, she believes,
I mean, it is now a prime opportunity for someone like you, I'd imagine, in the state of Georgia in soccer.
Absolutely. Georgia's always produced players, but now to have it front and center with U.S. soccer moving in, with what you see with Atlanta United putting the numbers they put in the stands week in and week out, with them having the early success, you're talking about the football fan actually embracing soccer and being able to go tailgate. like they're going to a football game at a soccer game. With women's athletics, basketballs and soccers and so forth now growing, those same fans are coming in numbers. And so the youth levels, they're growing. You're seeing younger and younger players in the national teams. So these players can touch it. Oh, that player is 17 years old. I can do that, right? So they're starting to really get after it. And Georgia being a hub for that makes it Georgia a lot more appealing when it comes to the University of, because they're, again, that much closer to the things.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
Well, analytics come in. Do you know what you want in a forward? Do you know what you want in a left back and a right back? Have you worked through that?
So we use our sports scientists, and we've outlined sort of what has been successful per position with players that we've had in the past plus current players that we've had. And we sort of outline by position what that looks like physically. And so as players come in and they're not quite hitting their numbers, I'm like, well, this isn't my opinion. This is where your numbers are, and this is positionally what fits best for you. And so we start to work through that.
So what happens if a girl hits a little bit of a growth spurt? I had one who played a forward. She played left back the last 2 years because all of a sudden she's 5'6".
Yeah.
She's in a weight room, and bring me any right wing you want. I mean, that's the other part that does happen in high school at this age.
At every level, we can look at those attributes. We can look at your attributes, see how they fit into the group. And positionally, we can move you if you're skilled enough and you think the game well enough, we can move you around. And so typically in this level, for sure, we move around a handful of players. But as we go out and look, we identify certain qualities that we want. And if we have to move them later, we will. But we try to identify on the front end, these are the qualities that we think we want in the team. And right now, versatility is probably one of the highest ones so that we can move them around.
When you go to see some of these games, AAU with your son, parents, what you hear, are you sometimes horrified if you're just sitting there and they don't know who you are?
Yeah, I heard that our coach actually spoke to our AAU team last night and said it's not only the players,
we recruit
coaches. Coaches are paying attention to their parents, and I think that's an important message to get across.
No doubt about it. I think that the relationship between player and parent and coach, parent and referee, it tells us a lot about what the dynamic is that we're bringing into our family. You know, I think it's often forgotten that as much as those players are trying to put themselves here, we're picking people that we actually want to be around, that we want to represent us, that we want to be a part of the brand, and the cohesiveness in that unit and how you go about doing that is a big piece. Now, we'll take some risk if our culture's right, but at the end of the day, the more succinct we can be in terms of the value set, the competitiveness, but in the right way, the types of players.
What's the question you most ask of high school or travel coaches?
What are their training habits? What are their training habits? How do they treat their fellow teammates? How do they treat you? Those are the character questions typically come first. We can see talent. We can see whether you can run, jump, you know, play a ball over distance, whether you can trap a ball, whether you're good with the ball at your feet. But I want to know on the day-to-day basis, you know, it's a person that you typically enjoy being around. Are they a good human? Do they bring positivity to the group?
At this level, though, are you insulated from parents? You're not.
Parents are parents.
They'll get to you.
And I don't necessarily want to be insulated.
But you know
I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But
Playing time questions.
I think it's important to go, have you talked to your child? So I'm willing to have the conversation. Well, have you talked to her? Have you all talked about what we've talked about? But I don't mind the conversations because I think at the end of the day, I want to help them understand, well, you're not at training. Here are the things that are happening that you may not see. You get to see on the weekend, but here are the things that you don't get to see. Here are the things that you don't know, and we don't share with you on purpose. So there's a broader picture that sometimes you just don't have all the information.
What about the concept that these girls have never sat and watched And now you got a 30-person roster. Yeah. Not everybody's on the field.
I address it in the recruiting process. This is the hardest thing you'll ever do. Coming in and trying to compete for something, but being told you're not good enough yet. Like that concept for many of them, because they're the best of the best coming from across the country, some of them in the youth national team system, but you don't know anything yet.
If they do it right, let's say it's a freshman year, shouldn't they know more soccer by watching? Like, that's the one thing that...
You would think.
So, instead of, did you play the game, but did you ever watch any of these? Now you have a chance to watch it. Can you build... For the ones who get it and understand that,
take
can they end up being a better player?
Out of whatever the situation is, and that can make you better.
No doubt about it. And what I try to also share with them, listen, it is in your best interest to allow me to maximize the number of games you're going to play. You only get 80 games in your career guaranteed. So if I don't think you're ready, why would I put you out there in your freshman year and take away from the overall experience? I'm going to save as many games as I can for you to play so that you can maximize this experience, because there's no guarantee you're going to play after this. So let's make this experience the best experience we can, and that might mean you sit now so that you can play all the games later rather than me put you in 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, 20 minutes there, not play you this game. Let's maximize the number of games and the amount of minutes you get to play.
Kadani McAlpin is with us. He's Georgia's women's soccer coach. So much like the football program has their version of spring ball, you have the same deal in soccer, right?
No doubt. We're in it now. We spend a lot of time working on the physical side in this part of the year. Can we get stronger? We're in the weight room. We're running. We're doing all of those things. We're locking in on the tactics, the small details. Those players who haven't played, I'm sticking them out there, letting them burn a little bit while they try to run around. We're trying different things. But this is our development time. This is where we have to get better. The goal is to have the group that we have right now in the spring be the first group, the first team, in the very first game of the year.
How often are you wowed when somebody comes back from a little downtime and all of a sudden you see him and you go, I thought this, but you're honest enough with you and your staff to go, wait, they're better than that now. Something's happened.
Listen, there are a few players, even this spring, they made some decisions. And what they did between our last game in November and when they came back in January, drastically different. And it's not always necessarily physical. It's mental. They decided that they wanted to do something different. And we're seeing it right now, and we try to do everything in our power to reward it, to say it, to see it, to make it visible, to make it known.
We'll finish up with this. Have you ever heard the expression? There was a gentleman by the name of Buddy Curry. He played for the Atlanta Falcons, and I went and saw him speak in front of about 300 parents. And he asked a simple question. He said, where do you think most athletic careers end? And it was, high school, college. And he let them all get it off their chest. He said on the ride home. How you treat them on the car on the ride home. Can you just maybe, if you're talking to parents now, just sort of talk about what a balance has to be in that regard?
Well, I tell them all the time, don't coach them. You don't know what they've been asked to do. They might be doing exactly what they've been asked to do. Just ask them if they had a good time. Ask them if they worked as hard as they could. Ask them if they're enjoying themselves still. Ask them if they understand what's being asked, right? You know, support them. Listen more than you actually, you know, berate and or coach them. Because often they'll tell you exactly what they know. They know whether they've done it right or not. They know whether or not they've done the things necessary to be on the field. And they will tell you. But I think far too often they catch it. And then it doesn't become fun anymore because they're also balancing. This time in college, they develop the most. This 7-year window between when we meet them at 14 and they leave at 21, this most change happens. And sometimes playing is secondary. It's not their motivation anymore. And some of that happens because they lose the joy in some of those conversations.
Is it a fair question as a parent to ask you if they're going to have a conversation with you? What can my child do to get better? What does he need to work on or she need to work on, as opposed to why isn't he or she playing?
That's the perfect question. That's a real question. And we'll go, okay, hey, here are the spaces that we are working in. And I'm honest. I'm as honest as I can possibly be. We have done all the things that I think we can do. I know what we're recruiting. Maybe this just isn't the spot. Go maximize your ability to play.
But shouldn't that be done after the player has a conversation with you?
Most definitely.
Yeah, that's the order.
That's the order. They need to come in. They need to if they've lost the ability to understand or don't feel like they're getting a fair shot, okay, I get it. Understand. Come in, let's talk it through. But understand that we're going to tell you all the things that we've done. Right? Here's how we've changed positions. We've given you the sports science piece. We've given you the nutrition piece. We've given you these things. Here's what we're trying to do tactically. There's a whole lot that goes into it. Here's how they piece together with the chemistry of the group.
Yeah, and by the way, sorry, we're recruiting more next year, and we're recruiting more the year after that.
My job is to go get better talent than what we have. The other half of my job is to help you hold that talent back as long as possible. But my job is dependent on me winning and losing games. And I need to win more than I lose in order to continue to eat.
Coach, it's a very important part of the process.
You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, if you are a freshman and you are capable of carrying our group and helping us win games, well, you're going to be out there. If you're a senior and you're not capable, you're not carrying your weight, and you've been here long enough to know the difference, you're not going to play as much. And because it's not about you, the individual, it's about the collective. And that sometimes is the hardest part. But I have a role for you. I have a way that you can contribute. I have a way that you can make
it. It's called Monday afternoon, Tuesday afternoon. What are you doing on the practice field?
Well, not just that. One of the best moments was for my championship season was the players that didn't even get to be on the bench. They were in the stands because of the numbers, right? And what they wrote on the board, hey, you know, when you don't think you can, when you think you don't have enough, look to us, we'll be in section, whatever, whatever. Those players impacted winning almost more so than the players on the field because they let the players on the field free. I don't have to feel bad because my friend's not with me. I don't have to feel bad because, you know, they're not playing. I can be free to go play because they're with me. They're fighting just as hard as I am, just in a different capacity. And that's a hard thing. That sacrifice is very, very difficult. Not a lot of people can do it, but it's necessary sometimes. Only 11 can play.
Well, Coach, it's a pleasure meeting you. Thanks for coming by and spending
some
time with us. Hopefully we can do it again.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, guys.
You got it. Kidani McAlpine, the head women's coach here at soccer when it comes to Georgia.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
Tonight in Arkansas, there's a mother tucking in her daughter and turning off the light. A business owner is burning the midnight oil. An at-home dinner date is plating up possibility. And it's all happening under one roof. How? The power of a conversation. Like the one John from Integrity Solutions had with First Horizon Bank about his vision for a sustainable mixed-use building. Now it's not just words, it's life. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/John. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
Support for Extra 106.3 comes from Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy, celebrating their 35th anniversary and offering gift cards in-store and online. You can discover Mother's Day and anniversary presents online at Natural Body Spa and Skin Remedy at naturalbody.com.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.